Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's always great to connect with all of you here. Welcome to the program. Hello, everyone in the chat room that's starting to get in there. We got the chat up a little late, so just be patient. Hi, everyone listening by phone, computer out there in the internet, the ether space, and hi to everyone listening later via archives, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. I love that name, TuneIn Radio. Got a lot of new listeners from that as well. And as well as Podbay FM. I've got some great new listeners there and some great feedback, which I really want to thank everyone that left feedback on Podbay FM and also iTunes, some new feedback, so really appreciate it. Want to get it up to 40 this month, and then within the next few months, 100 appreciation feedback. Come on, everyone. Be great. So if you do listen, even if you don't listen by iTunes, but if, especially if you listen via iTunes, it would just be so cool if you would leave some feedback. It feels good. I like it. And we all like it. The producer likes it. Sadikins likes it. And it just bumps us up in the ratings as well, so it helps more people find our wonderful community. We've got such a great group of people here in the chat and just in general, and also on our Facebook page as well. There's a lot of good connecting there also. So you can either go to Michelle Mache, M-E-I-C-H-E, or just Awakenings with Michelle Mache. Either one will get you there. We are going to be getting to callers. I love callers. So the number to call in, 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And if you would, press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you want to get on air. I see some people already in queue. So just press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to get on air. Some people said they're having trouble getting in the chat room, so I'm going to refresh, and if you'll also refresh your browser, that may help. So we've got an interesting program today. We're going to dive into some questions as well, email questions, and then get to the phone lines also. So we've got this week the authors of Master Your Sexual Energy and Master Your Life going to be talking about consciousness and energy. I mean, it's all the same energy. So it'll be interesting to see their take on it. And they, they also practice leading edge principles and inspiring practices to bring lasting joy in life, relationships, and work. That'll be a Dr. Elizabeth Muth, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, and Freddie Zental Weaver. And their new book, Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. So that'll be for the second half of the program. The first half will be just diving in. So kind of what I want to say, I guess apropos, because since 2009, there's been such a push, as many of you have heard me sharing, on right relationship and right livelihood. Those metaphysical axioms or components to life, and it's so much to me what life is built upon, which is relationship. And when we're constantly in relationship, we're constantly relating to ourselves, we're in relationship to something all the time, whether another person, a situation, you know, an object, a tree, we're always in this focus of perceiving and projection, you know, mirroring and perceiving and kind of knowing the difference. And highlighting in that is, you know, the actual component of our relationship to ourself, to our higher self or higher power, that aspect of us that's guiding and directing us. You know, the higher mind, you know, opening to universal mind or more than what is in the mundane, right? And then bringing that awareness into our, you know, intimacy, into our life with ourselves and others. And then, of course, relating with others, which is probably one of the most amazing things in the world if you really think about relationship, just the whole dynamics of the way the world works. Everything boils down to relationship. And I one time had somebody who was in a rental unit years ago, this great place on the beach, and the guy just jacked up my rent like you could not even believe. I paid it because I had a nice ocean view, but and we were talking, and I told him, I said, you know, if I ran my business like that, it wouldn't be, you know, very good if I just all of a sudden just upped something $300 or $500, you know, just woo. And he looked at me and he said, it's just business. And I looked back at him, Mr. Businessman, and I said, no, it's relationship. It's about people. And even business is about people. It's always about people. It's always about relating and, you know, getting to, I think, what is key core authentic, you know, what is, you know, not at the expense of humanity. And I think we're moving back into that sphere. It may not look like it sometimes, but I really do think and feel we're moving back into that sphere, that it's not everything for a buck or each man or woman for themselves, but it's that wonderful, you know, it's funny, I just looked up and I see the book, The Bond, by Lynn McTaggart, Connecting to the Space Between Us. I have to have Lynn back on the program. Maybe, Sadie, maybe you can send an invite back to have her on. It made me just think just now, it is the bond, you know, and if we forget our humanity, you know, if we forget what we're really here to do, I just know in bereavement counseling and the shamanic inner work that I've done with people crossing over, and people have said this before that do this type of work, you never hear somebody talk about all that they've achieved. Even if they've achieved some amazing humanitarian or philanthropic things, they always talk about their relationships, their friends, their family, you know, colleagues, coworkers, whatever, you know, the great relationships that they've had. And, you know, it goes back to relationship. It all is about relationship. And then what do we mean by right livelihood? Well, within that, how do you live? Not just money. How do you make money? Livelihood. You know, I like to say life. Livelihood is your life. Is it lively enough? You know, but are you on path? Are you living a life that is, you know, fulfilling to you? You know, are you doing work that's meaningful to you? And it's funny, when you look in the dictionary, it's lively and hood. So the gangster rappers have nothing on this. Hood is not a new term, you guys. It came in the 16th century, just to let you know. So lively and hood, you know, living in your hood, in your neighborhood, lively. Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? And so it's to ask yourself, are you, you know, I know so many people that are not, you know, that come across my path and the work that I do that are not lively in their hood. You know, they're living kind of a drudgery or they're escaping. They're doing things that escape too much. And I would say a little escapism is good. A little Dionism is good. You know, it stops people from being rigid. But if it's a constant escaping where you're sabotaging your life, yourself, or you're putting the blocks, the roadblocks up to your dreams, if it's blocking your relationship to yourself, it's just blocking your relationship to other people, if it doesn't have, you know, if you're creating a life that really doesn't have meaning, then you've got to ask yourself, why are you doing that to yourself? Because that means you're not loving yourself. You know, contrary to what people think, when you keep putting roadblocks in your life, when you keep blocking yourself from moving forward or fully flourishing or thriving, that's a form of not self-denial, but, you know, non-self-love. You know, there's something going on there if you're not thriving or flourishing in your life or you don't think you can. Or, you know, people like to use the word sabotage or, you know, messing up all the time. There's something there, and you have to ask yourself why. So right now there's a major, let's see. Yeah, Tamara's right in the chat. Self-sabotage can be insidious. Yes, yes, I agree. I think when you ask yourself, if the one thing that I say, and a lot of times I even hate the word sabotage. I think sometimes we do that. More often there's a relating pattern that's in place that's old, that's moldy, that's not working. We're responding to something that happened in our past, fears holding us back, and usually some type of loss, you know, needs to be, you know, cleared up. You know, I'll give an example. You know, when I started writing, journaling, I think 7-8 years old, writing and drawing, and I won some awards pretty early on. And then my parents, it was the one thing I had that I just didn't want to share for some reason, even though I was excelling at it and I loved writing and I still love writing. My parents found a bunch of my writings and read them and commented on them, how much they loved them. And I was really incensed about that and vowed I'm not going to write again. You're not going to get me or find out about me through my writing. And it wasn't particularly my journal. Who knows? Knowing my parents, they probably got into that too. But it was some poetry and a longer formatted prose that I had. And then I realized later on, you know, I'm stopping myself from doing this thing that gives me such great joy. I mean, I still did journaling, but it was about in my 20s that I started, you know, realizing, you know, I love to write. And I kind of went back to it. And then my first book was published, was it 2003? And I got the joy back. You know, I got the joy back and released it and even laughed with it with my dad and said, yeah, you know, I stopped doing this. He goes, oh, I don't know why, mija, you're such a good writer. And I said, I know, Dad, but, you know, it just had a little stench, a little overlay on it because, you know, you guys were kind of controlling me through that or trying to. But see, a lot of people would have kept that pattern and then just cut off or wouldn't have been aware of what they were doing, even if it's something that gave them a lot of fulfillment. So I would say right now, especially working with the energies that we have right now in April, we have these powerful energies. Actually, towards the end of the year, it's a powerful time for stripping back. Tamara put, geez, a violation of privacy, bummer. Yeah. And you know what's weird? They did it out of love, believe it or not. And they were just like, oh, we just loved reading your stuff and we wanted to share it. That was my parents' point of view. We wanted to share it with our friends. That's that. But right now there's such powerful energies on looking at, I would say right now, looking at where are you still holding on to an old version of yourself. This is a biggie right now. A good friend of mine was saying, you know, a lot of times people present, they think they're presenting themselves, but they're presenting an idea of themselves. They're trying to be themselves, but they're presenting an idea. And Toby, that's for you. Taking that, it's a good thing because it really got me thinking. You know, and it got me thinking, and then also like a few months ago, I heard this interview with Bill Murray, and he was talking about acting as really just being yourself. And the commentator said something, the interviewer said something about, well, that sounds easy. And he goes, well, not really. What, there's nothing tougher than just being yourself. And I think it's so true because we're taught to just be these different parts or respond or react or respond these certain ways to get something or get somewhere. Now, that's so contrary to the soul. The soul is happy just as it is. It's the uniqueness of our being. And so we're here to fully reflect, experience, express the uniqueness of our being. So I've been kind of doing this myself the last few years, and even more so, you know, since, I guess, November, December of last year, because it really, you know, it's been so highlighted with these T-squares and retrogrades and now, you know, the Grand Cross. Where are you still going into these default positions that may not be genuinely how you feel or how you want to express? And I was talking to a client about this the other day. We've really been doing some deep inner work on this, and she finally said, you know, I'm afraid of being open. It's vulnerable.
And I said, but we've got to reframe vulnerability. We've got to reframe open. Open means being genuine. It means saying what's on your mind. It means showing what's on your face, you know, on your countenance, not hiding what you're going through. Obviously, if you're in negotiations or something, or you're in some, you know, camp or prison, you know, there's ways that you can't, you know, you don't reflect that. But in your everyday living, if it's not extraordinary circumstances, then you need to be who you really are, how you really are. We say who you really are as a spiritual being. How are you really? And then you need to respond or express. And that's what we got to the bottom with this wonderful person, is that there was the fear of expressing who or how she really is. There was a fear of expressing or being open, even to her significant other and some friends and family, that I don't want to expose myself. And, you know, there's a saying in the I Ching, in Hexagram 20, contemplation, that the more we rise above, the more we're raised to contemplate, we are also contemplated as well. Some of you that do my Soul Path workshops, we do this, you know, we go into those, you know, transpersonal chakras, we rise above. Well, when you're doing that, you're also letting yourself be felt or seen. If people are very intuitive, they can actually see you. This is where you get people like calling out of the blue, or, you know, saying, I'm just thinking about you, I'm going to stop by, or you bump into somebody. So, yeah, there is a risk that as you rise above, more people see you. You know, that it's the hiding that people are doing when they're being closed. But being open means allowing access, passage, view, or view through an empty space, not closed or blocked up. So when we are living more open, we're allowing more space for our unfolding. We're allowing more space to experience life and to draw things into us and for us to move into that space, which my contention, just like death, you know, like orgasm, there's a merging, but there's space there. There's a space that's created, and then, you know, and then there's a merging. And then you face the void again. My contention is that I feel that's what so many people fear, is the space in the conversation, the space in the relating, you know. Did he call or did she call, or it's been 2 days or 3 days or an hour, you know, or I haven't seen them, it's been this. We're so uncomfortable with the space. We're uncomfortable with the space. Oh, I don't have an idea right away. I don't know what I'm going to say next. So the space can be seconds, milliseconds. It can be longer. It could be hours, it could be days, it could be 5 minutes. But so look where you are not comfortable in the space, where you're feeling space. I've had some people, you know, ask me, and I'll touch on some, and then we're going to get to phone lines. So please, those that are waiting on the phone, press 1 on your keypad. Let me know that you want to get on queue, or you're in the queue and want to get on air. People have been asking me, you know, why don't I subscribe to The Secret, or even like Abraham. There's some truth in some of those things. Obviously, they wouldn't go forward, but there's so much misinformation and mistruth that leads people down astray. It doesn't bring in, you know, in my estimation, and not just me, a lot of other teachers, it doesn't bring in the idea of the soul or soul qualities, which is that uniqueness of our being, which means the uniqueness of our path. And, you know, I had some people that I've uploaded some videos on Facebook. It's also on my Light Being 21 channel on YouTube, talking about the space, but also that we manifest in the void or in the space. The manifestation, which means to make visible, comes in the space, because anything that's ever manifested on the physical plane is already there on the etheric plane. You can feel it. You can feel it coming in. You can sense it. But to really see it and to live it tangibly, you know, it takes a grosser or denser physical form. We are so moving into manifesting in resonance. And what does that mean? That means from the uniqueness of our being or authentically. So that doesn't necessarily mean looking to the left or the right of me saying, I want what so-and-so has, or there's this recipe or this template for manifesting. That's why I really, you know, again, I don't subscribe to those, you know, cookbooks. Just like a good astrologer does not, you know, subscribe to recipe or cookbook astrology books. I mean, you can get some basics, you can learn some stuff, but if you really want to fly, you have to get your chart individually done. The same thing with manifesting from the soul. you have to manifest individually. Everybody has a different timing. Everybody has a different focus. We all come in perhaps with 3 to 4, maybe 5 at the most, but usually 3 to 4 issues that we're working on or learning, focuses in life. There will be learning lessons and experiences that we're meant to have. All of them will have some component of relationship to it. If you follow the kind of the thread back through your life from where you are now, you'll see that there's been a theme. Well, that's the soul theme unfolding. So if you're following what somebody else deems to be successful or the way to manifest, you know, if you're following that, then you're not following your unique theme and the thread of your unfolding. And how you do that, wow, it's really clearing, of doing your emotional clearing, clearing the patterns and getting so that you could really see and feel. You can move into awareness of what is. Awareness of what is really important to you. Now, I so live this, and because I came in to do this, this has been my whole thing, my whole life. Sometimes I wasn't even aware of it until looking back. I would do things that were so contrary to what everybody else was doing around me, but it led me to the most amazing unfoldment in my life. I mean, the amazing opportunities that I have had and continue to have, the amazing people that I've met, because I've just followed the opening. See, if you know, you want to learn how do you manifest from the soul, sometimes what's opening in front of you isn't particularly what you want to do or you don't think it fits in, but your higher self is always guiding you to what is the most life-enhancing, with most fulfillment, what is most connected to your soul design. So I can think of when I taught school, preschool, kindergarten, I taught school with a lot of people that were in the TV and film industry. They opened the door. I never wanted to be an actress or a model. I did some beauty pageants back in the day. That was not my thing. I was such a tomboy. But I followed the openings, and so that led to one thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. Bringing it into the higher self, does this feel right? Asking for the confirmation. Because if you're following your soul template, if you're being spirit-led, you're following the nudges, the urges, those energies. Yogini, right? We've had her on the program, calls it the urge. Nudges, who's in the chat a lot of times. When you're following that, you may not be getting the goodies in the present moment. It might seem like there's a lot of hard work. I mean, a few years ago, I was putting in a lot of really hard work, and a lot of my friends and family were saying, oh, you're a workaholic, you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, you're sacrificing, blah, 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 you should be doing this and that. Well, now it's kind of paying off. You know, I was in the joy of it. I wasn't doing it to get somewhere. That's another thing. When you follow your joy, that inner joy meter, it's not necessarily to get something. It's because you're receiving and you want to give something. I was receiving so much by even starting Awakenings. You know, when the guide said, whatever it was, back in 2006, I guess, what to start this program, and then a friend turned me on to Cosmic Dimensions, and then I started the program there, and, you know, I was just so overwhelmed, but I just followed. I got help from my DJ friends, you know, how do you edit, how do you do this, how do you upload, FTP account, all of this that I had to learn to do, which later, you know, obviously paid off, and it's been a great foundation. So don't look aside so much, I guess, and compare. I mean, we all do that. I'm horrible at it myself, comparing, but I try to rein it back in through my meditation practice, through journaling, through my inner work, my clearing work, rein it back in and go back and say, what do I really want to do? Not what's going to get me a lot of money, what's not. That, the conscious creation will come later. Once you're connected more to your soul, you learn it. You're following the openings. You're living more from divine right timing, more from synchronistic timing, less from literal timing or, over left brain focus. You're moving out of that linear time. You're moving into synchronistic experience. You're following the openings. You get a good soul foundation. You're working from the template of the soul. Then when you start getting it, then you can start getting into the details of what we call conscious creation, where you're consciously creating from the template of your soul. because you know yourself enough to do that. You feel when something is in alignment or when it's not. You know when to move forward, when to release, when to move back or just, you know, do a healthy retreat or open the space. But until you can really know who you are by feeling it out, by following those nudges, getting rid of the rule books, getting rid of the recipes, those foundational recipes, but getting rid of that idea that you can have anything that you want. You can manifest it, draw it in, you know, all the success you want, all the prosperity. The caveat is you can within the template of your soul. You have to go by your soul design because that's what you're here to do. If you're an orange tree, you're meant to be an orange tree, blossom, and bear orange fruit. If you're an apple tree, you're meant to be an apple tree. There's no use looking at the orange tree and saying, now I want to be an orange tree. And see, that's what people have been doing. They've been looking at each other's paths and buying books and taking workshops and programs that are not having them find their authentic soul design and path and learn their own inner map. That's what I like to share. They've been handed what seems to be the holy grail, the blue pill or the, you know, red pill, that if you do it this way, you'll have everything that I have. Look how successful I am. I'm so beautiful. You know, my body is little, thin, whatever, fat, whatever it is, you know, whatever. This is the latest craze. And I did it by this. You too can have what I have. And that's not true. You can have what you're meant to have. And if you follow what you're meant to have, it's even better than what you think you're meant to have. You know, now, again, not to say there's not going to be some little hiccups along the way and challenges and even worry and problems, because that's the human challenge existence experience. You know, we're here also to play that wonderful range of emotions. But you're here to find your own gifts and live from those gifts through experience and expression. And then living from that, you harness this universal energy. You know, the blocks begin to dissolve because it's like you're taking the chains off the tires or the, you know, you're taking the car off the block so it can really go. So when we're not connected to our soul design, when we're manifesting what isn't of truth for us, it actually kind of clogs up that universal flow, that funnel that we're connected to source. You know, we're not getting, you know, a clear stream of insight, inspiration, information, and energy. We're off path, so we're not connecting in a synchronistic fashion to the people and situations that we need to. We're off. We've all been off. You know, when you start changing gears or each new level, you get off a little bit until you get kind of back in track. But when you're off for years, then there's something wrong or not quite right. You're just off path. You know, and we all go there for a little bit, but if things aren't clicking for a long period of time, then there's some opening you're not acknowledging and going through. Because the steps of what we're meant to do are always right there in front of us. It's just many of us look at him and go, oh, I don't, that's not what I wanted. Or that, it doesn't look the way that I thought. That's one thing I learned early on, is that very often my next step, my next connection, it won't always look the way that I thought. I may not recognize it, but I could feel it. And so you have to kind of take your mind off of your physical eyes or what you've envisioned. Take your eye off the package and go by the feeling, which will connect you in by resonance. Thank you,
Tamara. Brilliant sharing, Michelle. Loving your open-hearted presence. Thank you. Ooh, I love this, Tamara. Vulnerable is being transformed to open-hearted presence. Yeah. Yes, express the less fear I have, the more willing I am to show up. Yeah. It's true, open-hearted presence. I just feel like we're being nudged in that direction. And, you know, I can tell you I'm not expert at it. I've had some situations of late where I've had to say what I really think or feel, and it's not always been welcomed, and I've been misunderstood or I've come off a little silly. I've found that I'm very abstract and big ideas, larger concepts, but little detail or common, you know, I don't know how to say it. I do have common sense, really good common sense.
But sometimes little details or things more left brain don't really add up for me. I jump ahead to the big idea. And I have someone in my life right now that's pointing that out to me. Oh, well, that's why I lose track of time and I get lost. I go someplace. You know, my friends always kid me, or my brother, I'm calling him for my GPS, when I go downtown and I come back and I get lost. So it might change. That might change. Right now it's not impacting my life, but I'm learning my GPS better and using it more on my phone, and it's really working well. So I would say there's the metaphor of use your own inner GPS more, you know, and because when you're using your inner GPS more, i.e. the higher self, tapping into those source energies, universal consciousness, when you're using your GPS more, your sonar and radar are better. One last thing I want to share, then we're getting to the callers. Your body is tuning fork, sonar, radar. It's not only emitting impulses, but it's drawing them in, right? You can think of it as a satellite. Your mind is the slate. Your mind is a type of, you know, receiver in a sense. But be very clear that your body is getting the information. The mind is, in a sense, the chalkboard. It's the place where the information is looked at, kind of digested, assimilated, processed, if you will. Information, insight can come through the mind, but the lower mind, the rational mind, the ego mind, is not where the insight, the information is coming from. So your mind may be telling you something. Sometimes you need not to listen to what you think, not listen to what the mind is saying, because the mind tends to house information of things that have already gone on. Maybe you saw something on TV. Now you have that, you know, impression, or you have that thought, or that word, or the last thing that happened to you a day ago or 2 days ago. That's what stays in the mind, right? It's rehashed stuff. It's stuff that's already there. So you don't want to base your decisions on that. The body works completely in the present, you know, split second, no second, you know, it's getting the data. So be very clear that when you're thinking, that's not problem solving. Again, I'm going to go back to it with manifestation. You need to clear the space. If you start thinking, you're using data that has gone on before. It's only until you get into that meditative state that the information comes beyond the local mind, and then it can settle in where you can then look at it and decide. It also comes within the body. So your body is never going to tell you what's wrong or lead you astray, I would say. Now, if you have traumas and you need to reclaim that, you know, a lot of times we need to reclaim the connection to our body wisdom, to that, you know, sonar, GPS, that the satellite that it is to get the signals, to reread the feeling, you know, the emotions, and then get beyond the emotions to the feeling, to be able to decipher, which is one thing we do in the Soul Path workshops as well. So, but be very clear that your body is receiving through the organs, through the heart, through the solar plexus, right? The brain. It's receiving the information and giving you the answer, giving you which way to go on a very, very, very instinctual, primal level. You're also receiving information through the mind, not from the mind, but through the mind. And when those two are in concert, when they meet, when there's that body-mind connection, then the right decisions are made, the right direction is able to be taken. But really important to know that you're getting the information from the body. So the body as the instrument is so important, especially right now. The soul expresses and experiences through the body, right? Energy in motion, emotions. So we're not mental beings. You know, we have a mind, but we're not our mind. We express an experience in the mind. We express an experience in the body. But the body is that wonderful instrument that's constantly receiving signals and giving signals. Okay? So,
even telepathically, when you're getting information telepathically, you first feel it in the body before the image is done. And you can see this in children or in animal beings, especially animal beings. You know, their body will respond to something before you can see it registering in their eyes that they're getting the image of what is going on. You know, whether it's somebody coming to the door, or, you know, earthquake, something's happening, you know, they sense another animal. You'll see the body respond seconds, you know, before the mind registers. Let's see. Okay. 401-439, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Kim.
Hi. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Hi. Awesome. Well, everything that you say is just great.
Thanks, Kim. Love it. Love it.
I'm trying to formulate a question, and I'm sitting here, and all I can hear is it's about something. It's time for something to unlock with me. It has to do with my healing practice and my ability.
Yes.
I was wondering if you had any insight into that.
Okay. I love that you say unlock. I love that. The first thing I get is the voice. Oh, boy. Now, see, yeah, you're definitely meant to go in that direction and work more with feeling. There could be working more particularly with women as well. I'm hearing the voice. Are you doing any speaking or anything? Even singing, music, chanting, working with the voice.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was getting. I heard to singing. I think it has to do more with using my voice and channeling.
Okay. But there's channeling, but you're meant to speak, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You're meant to speak it. There's something, I even think a show like this or podcasts or videos, your voice has a wonderful transmission to it. You're able to transmit energy through the voice. So I would even say CDs, talks, MP3s, whatever, but I would say the next step for you in opening, and Kim will put in the chat, fifth chakra stuff for sure, I see blue, Kim has the key to unlock. Yeah.
Woo! Like that, yeah.
It's using your voice. Yeah.
Okay.
There's something melodic.
I love it. Use the voice. They're saying use my voice, and I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And I think I know because I do a lot of group work with people. I'm an intuitive healer, and I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be guiding people more into a state of meditation and relaxation and openness. And then my brain goes, oh, but how are you going to do that? But I know it will just happen.
Yeah, it'll happen by you using your voice. I would say, talking, sharing, speaking. Tamara, I love Tamara in the chat. I love when people can tell their own answers. Yes. I think a good reading will just confirm what we want to hear or don't want to hear. I feel that I want to say even CDs and even maybe with the intuitive healing, it's interesting Tamara's talking about chakras, even bringing in chakra alignment work, even toning. The guys are saying all that'll be fun for you, but the main thing is you're meant to speak, and you're meant to talk, to speak, to share through the voice. So even if you were doing different modalities, there's something about you relaying information through the voice, speaking it. I feel recordings.
All right. It's interesting because I had a session yesterday, and my client was she was new to me, and she's just like, your voice, I love listening to your voice. It's so peaceful to me. It's so calming. I'm like, okay, this is something new for me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cool.
So that's,
Yeah, so that peaceful calming, you know, again, meditation CDs, you know, healing, the healing work that you're doing, intuitive healing work, and recording it and, you know, and making it available to people.
Wow.
ASAP,
cool.
They're saying. ASAP, ASAP. They want it out there.
Okay. Okay.
You asked.
All right. Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Love when that happens. Thanks, Kim, for calling in.
Thank you.
Blessings. All righty. Let's see. Whoops. I don't know what happened now. 401. Oh, 323-638. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. It's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela.
Hey.
So, hey, I must've felt you because I talked about, manifesting from the, soul, which you,
oh, yeah, I was just, yeah, I know I'm going to go back and re-listen to this podcast for sure, just because you're covering stuff that's so relevant in my life right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, you had asked for stuff about on manifestation from the soul, so I covered, talked about that, and yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh no, thank you. Thank you for covering it. So, it's what you're saying is it's sinking in. Well, it's like I feel like I want to marinate more in what you're sharing with us. So, right. Oh. Why I'm calling today is I'm going through this transitional period, and it feels exciting but scary because it almost feels like free falling. And starting last year, my relationships have really been changing, but I feel ultimately for the better. But like more recently, I have a challenging relationship with my sister. And I gave another friend a birthday present, but our vibe seems a bit off. And it kind of makes me think, like, is it because I'm changing or am I doing something wrong? Or is it because of the space where we're at? Like, everyone's just changing. And then, but
well,
I have to say, I feel,
Well, tell me how you feel. I want to hear that.
Oh,
also.
Okay. I feel freer now than I have been before. Like before, I would say I just started opening up in terms of like what you said earlier in the podcast, being vulnerable. Like that's something kind of new for me. Just saying how I feel, that's new and it feels vulnerable, but I feel it's a good thing. And I had taken baby steps, but now I kind of feel like I kind of don't have anything to lose by saying how I feel. And I kind of like that just because it puts it out there and it saves time.
Yeah.
Now, and so basically I feel freer now than I have before. And I also know that my life doesn't make sense to the average person because I kind of feel like I'm more guided by my intuition than the logic.
I hear that one. Totally understand that one. So tell me a little bit about the relationship. What are you feeling is going on, you know, like with a friend, you said that something, you know, seems
off.
I wouldn't quite understand. Yeah, off. Yeah. Just,
Well, he's kind of like a romantic interest. We're friends, though. He lives in Hawaii, but I'm going to go to Hawaii in June through July. But, like, he flew out here twice to visit me in L.A. He didn't invite me to Hawaii, though. But I'm actually inviting myself. But I was kind of annoyed that he didn't invite me over to Hawaii. But I was like, I'm going regardless because of advice that I listened to friends And you, like, I remember I had a call earlier this year regarding visiting Hawaii, and then you and Paolo had mentioned that it's good for me to see for myself.
Yeah.
And I feel that calling. I feel like I've been having dreams and just the compulsion.
But
now,
I wouldn't have said we'd just go unannounced. You're hoping to go see him? Does he know you're coming?
Oh yeah, he knows that I'm coming. I told him back in April. Oh, it is April. Actually, I told him in March. But
you're going to visit him?
That, not visit him, but to visit Hawaii, because I feel that it's kind of like I don't know if I want to live there or not. And I was kind of careful in how I phrased it, because I don't want it to put it on him. Like, if I move, it's not because of him. It's because 2 years ago, I've been dreaming of coming to Hawaii. Then last year, I visited Hawaii for my sister and her husband's marriage celebration, and just, like, I fell in love with the place. Well, it just resonated on a deeper level. And so now I'm visiting. Yeah, I had a friend, like, this is, I don't know if it's luck or what, but people just open up their homes to me or spaces. So I don't even have to know them that well.
Right. Yeah, it's great.
It's an awesome thing. It's such a blessing. So a newer friend had offered me to stay at his place however long I wanted. So I was like, oh my God, that's a great sign. This is before I booked a ticket. I had expressed to this newer friend that what I was planning on doing, which was couch surfing.
Right.
And
right.
He said, I was going to offer you my place. I was like, wait, what? So that's how I got.
The question
is, what's up with these relationships? Like, I feel like some of them have been changing in interesting ways. So, but I think it might be in relation partly because of how I am, because I'm being freer and okay with myself. Like, before, I think I was more of a people pleaser, and I would try to give people what they want. And I feel like just that I'm not playing nice just so that people are nice back to me. I'm just being myself more and improving some relationships, and others it's more uncertain, because like my relationship with my mom has improved significantly. And and then, you know, like I have all these new friends.
I feel like there's a lot more flux and flow right now in relationship. And I call it, you know, I kind of look metaphysically at it, dwellers on the threshold. I think a lot of people, there's a lot of chances, whether it's, you know, a personal, interpersonal relationship, you know, romantic, or it could be, you know, business relationship. A lot of people are coming back together. And kind of going, okay, are we going to do it? Are we going to fly? Are we going to go? Are we going to do it? Come on, are we going to play? And then you have some people that just quite aren't getting their you-know-what together. And they're in the shift without the F, if you know what I mean. If you take F out of shift, they're in that. And many of us, whatever you want to call it, light workers, starseed, you know, we're kind of saying, because we've kind of been in the front runner, you know, handling our stuff and kind of, you know, flowing forward, you know, we're like, okay, soul brothers and sisters, part of our tribe, here we're okay, come on, here's, it's cleared over here, the runway, you know, you're going to go, you're going to jump with me, let's go. So you might find some people kind of slacking on that. And then there's those that are jumping on.
Okay.
You know, a friend of mine calls it the train. You know, the train is moving. Are you coming on? You know, the right? Are you coming on?
Uh-huh.
The subway, door's closing. So the thing is not to cut off, but it's not to wait. It's an interesting place right now. You don't cut off. You don't judge. But you don't, you know, you can slow down a little. You know, like on a hike, you can slow down and see if they catch up. I find right now it's a time really for fruitful relationships. I mean, I know I've looked around and said, okay, where's the playmates that can play at a higher level? That's where I'm at. And some people are, so ask that, everybody. You want playmates, you know, co-creators. You want life mates you know, soulmates you're gonna get anyway. But you know, ask for the ones that can play at the higher level, and kind of or more expansive level, and see where they can go. The ones that are allowing you to give also, that mm-hmm. they're seeing your worth, they're seeing what you have to share and give, is valid and important, and that they can use that, they can use it and they're appreciating it, and that they have stuff to give you as well, and you're appreciating it. You know, I find moving right now into gratitude and appreciation really harnesses stuff. I've been doing a lot of kind of appreciation, even more than gratitude. Some of it's been gratitude, but really appreciating who's in my life and what's in my life, you know, on all levels, and seeing how it's all, you know, amazing, supportive, creative. There's something from each. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, I like what you just said about appreciating and being grateful. Is that what you said? Appreciating and being.
Gratitude. I think the thank you is good. The gratitude is good. But when you really move into appreciation, you can really feel appreciation. It's palpable. You can just touch it. I don't know, when I say I appreciate that, it's like it's more than the thank you. It's you just move into this, you see how it's all perfect and how it's all fitting together, even if it doesn't fit the package. And I think that's the one thing I would share with everybody is packages are changing now, how things are showing up, you know. And some people, unfortunately, are kind of small-minded and they're not seeing how great something is that they're getting because it doesn't fit into the package. The reason it doesn't fit into the package is because we've all been looking through the eyes of the constructed ego, the manual, the rule book everybody gets, and how to succeed in life and what you should be going for. And so these wonderful diamonds and gems are showing up, and people, that's not what I wanted. So try not to focus on the outer as much right now, the physical. Try to focus more on what it feels like. Like, does it feel like a hand in glove? Does it feel like comfy shoes? Does it feel like, we're in sync. Wow, cool. When you're getting those kind of signals, you're in alignment. And so the the thing is, the reason the packaging we may not recognize is because our local mind, our ego mind, won't recognize it because it's not generating from there. It's emerging through us as us from source energies. So it's something that we don't even know yet that we need. That's why people are not particularly recognizing it. So how the package is showing up, you know, will be changing. So that may be also, Angela, what's going on with you with these relationships, you know?
Meaning, like the one with the guy in Hawaii, so it feels confusing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's kind of, so you said to go for the feeling?
He's uncertain. If it feels confusing, then just let it be. That's how it is. It's being worked out. If something's confusing, like when we're trying to think of something, remember, like if you're doing, remember back in the day, you're doing a math problem at school, it's confusing until you figure it out, you know, the algebra, whatever, geometry. It's confusing until it's to the solution, you know.
Okay.
So the confusion means something is in process. So you have to allow the space, not only for you, but the other person. You have to allow the space. Trust me, I know, it can be maddening, especially because you're waiting for somebody, like, please just get it together and recognize how wonderful this is. If they're not there yet, they're not there yet. You can't force them to be there. So confusion means wait and see, things are processing. You've got to allow time. Time is the vehicle of change. The manifestation, the becoming clear, whatever's coming in manifested form, comes in time. And what is time is a measurement of space. So you have to allow space. How much space? If it's a lot of space, that means more time.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to just allow for the space, allow for the processing. Thanks, Angela.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay.
Hi, 347-303, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
847-303. Did you have a question?
Hi, Michelle.
Yes, hi.
Hi, it's Sasha. How are you?
Oh, Sasha, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. I just have one question. I'm in the process of, I finally made a decision to leave my significant other, and he has stated that he was going to look for somewhere else to live. So my question is, should I, like, because I'm in the process of looking for something as well, so I don't know if I should just go ahead and, like, what areas to look in, or should I kind of wait it out and see if he leaves and I can stay in the apartment?
Tasha.
Yes.
Tasha. Hi. But what do you, you know what, I was going to tease you and I was going to say, you both decided to get to move out. So why don't you move in together, just roommate?
You know the answer to that one.
I know. I feel like you're wanting new energy. Is that true?
Yeah.
That I would go with that. I would go with new energy and just lighten up and have a place that's really yours. Just rock it. Make it really your space.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the place is small where you're at, but I feel like the walls are closing in on you. So I don't know if it's so much has happened there.
Yeah.
Also, I think if you stay, he'll probably stay long. I don't know. I think you need to look for there could be a little mishy-mashy, wishy-washy, back and forth. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
So maybe clean break, new beginnings, really new beginnings. And by the way, I mean, from the, the next few weeks, May 15th on, as Mars goes direct, it's really time for that forward, movement. And
okay.
Like I said, open to collaborators. Who are the people that really want to play, really want to dance, really want to live abundantly? I'm doing that now. Let's make a little pact, everybody listening, and let's keep each other, in the loop on this and support each other to just go big. I mean, it takes the same amount of energy to dream small as it does big, or go whatever big is to you, right?
Yes.
So just really go for it, yeah. But I think the
So you think the Yonkers is good, the good area? Because I know I spoke to you before and you said maybe Riverdale would be, Riverdale kept coming up, but I'm not finding anything in Riverdale, so I was thinking maybe Yonkers.
Well, you might be working in Riverdale. Are you working in Riverdale? It might be working. Are you working there?
No, I'm not. Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. I would check both places, but like I was talking about at the beginning of the program, I would use your wonderful body as a wonderful tuning or tuning fork to see what resonates for you. Just clear your mind, one day or a couple days a week, take some deep breaths, breathe into the transpersonal chakra, that natural pause point above the crown chakra, breathe in, and then as you release the breath, just say clean slate, just see everything clean, leave me,
okay.
And go play. Let the body
okay.
lead, drive, walk, let the body lead you, and then see where you end up and see what feels right to you, what resonates to you. Because
okay.
we can shift, we can shift.
I'll start that today, and tomorrow I'm looking at an apartment, so who knows?
Yeah, keep us posted. Call back in.
I will. Thank you, Michelle. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Big hug.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Still waiting. I want to put the call out to Joanne. We're supposed to go to two places to raise your vibrational frequency, to just play, creative places, self-expressive places of art, music. So I'm still holding that space for you, Joanne. I know you're, regular listener. So, and if you haven't gone, you can still call back in. All right. It's second half of the program, time for our awakening dialogue. And we have with us Elizabeth Muth. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Elizabeth Muth, and Freddie Zentel Weaver. And they are the authors of, I just look at the beginning of the program, a new book called Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. They also founded the Tantra Nova Institute. Their focus is on how to master your sexual energy, to master your life, This new book explores the intersection of consciousness, the creative power of sexual energy, sensual pleasure, and personal empowerment. And they're also maintain that when life force sexual energy is unencumbered and free of past personal stories and collective interpretations that no longer serve a person, creativity and pleasure are more accessible everywhere in life. So welcome to the program, Elizabeth and Freddie. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And was it, is it Muth?
Moit. Elspeth Moit.
Oh, Moit. Okay.
Yes.
Elspeth. Elspeth. Okay.
Yes.
Fair bit. Okay. Wonderful. Ah, okay. Great. I still agree with you because I think everything is energy. Everything in the universe is energy. And when it's blocked, right, stopped in one area, it gets cloggy in other areas. Maybe we can just, first of all, just dive into how you got to this place of doing this kind of work, what led you to this, and then describing the work of it, I think would be great for our listeners.
Hi, this is Freddie Zintal. Well, I was first introduced to this work by my father. He is a psychiatrist, and when I was going through my puberty at 15 years old, he gave me a book to read on sex consciousness written by a guy by the name of Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, who later changed his name to Osho. And I love the practice. Yeah, you heard of him, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I love the practices of learning to separate ejaculation and the orgasmic feeling, and then what ensued in terms of my mastery and my sense of energy. I was an athlete in high school and in college on scholarship, and it served me well there. And I kept doing this after college in my personal relationships and reading and doing workshops, and never really thought I would teach this. And so knowing what I knew about my own inspiration in life, it was 20 years in the software business. I taught school for a while and did music professionally for a few years, and then software business for 20. But then 15 years into that, I was pretty like, you know, I don't know what's going on. This isn't what I want to do for the next 30 years. I don't know. But let me take this opportunity in Chicago. So a company moved me to Chicago, and that was 13 years ago, and I really came here to meet Elspeth, my partner, who her and I met on the Internet. I was single at the time, and she's on her own tantric journey, which she'll tell you about. And we formed this alliance, and we created this work, and it was 13 years ago, and thusly we have worked with thousands of couples and individuals all over the world now, and DVDs and books, and really it's just a wonderful opportunity to see what's possible for people when they tune in and tap into this life force or sexual energetic as a process and a way to more deeply connect with our creativity, with a happier, fulfilled life, integrating it with meditation and really turbocharging that ability to separate that mind conversation that shades and interprets our random reality.
Boy, it does shade it as well. Elizabeth, and you, how did you arrive at this place on this journey?
Yeah, I wish I would have had a dad who would have given me a book on sex consciousness when I was 15. Probably many would have.
Oh, I hear that. We didn't get that. I didn't get that book either.
So I grew up in Germany. I was one of 10 children, and I was pretty much on my own with respect to my sexual learning. Although, of course, there were lots of babies made, but we did not talk much about this. And so I started to learn and explore on my own. Always was curious about that sexual self. And not until I got to this country, to the United States, that I delved more into reading and into taking workshops. And then after many, many years, I was then a management consultant. I decided I wanted to produce a shift in my life and went to a certification program, a Tantra certification program. And it was so impactful that I left management consulting, and as you just heard from Freddie, I met him in the same year, And, you know, he when he told me on in an email from my dating, from that dating site where he had responded to me, when he wrote me that he grew up in a tantric household, I thought, wow, you know, I want to meet this guy. And so he came over for dinner, and the rest is history.
Wow, wow. Talk about following the openings, following the nudges. We're talking about that earlier in the program. Both of you did as well. Can you talk about, because my contention is, you know, it's universal energy. It's applied, you know, differently. I mean, for some reason, people have a back off on, as you put sex or sexual in front of energy, now it becomes something else. And I'm not quite sure why that is, because you've been life force, you know, looking at it as an energetic. With that in mind, how would you explain the sexual energy, life force energy, and also Tantra as it relates to the practice or principles of Tantra?
Sure. This is Freddie Zintal, Michelle. Well, you know, energy is one, as you mentioned earlier. You know, you light a light, power, car, generator. But when it manifests in sexual energy, it creates life. And when we're in it, it's pleasurable. So it's an interesting, unique manifestation of energy. And what's unique also is that we all came into this existence or experience through that energy. So it stands to reason that if we bring consciousness to this intelligence, that the kernels of that or the basics of that energy, that creativity and pleasure, start to become more present in other areas of life that don't seem related to sex, so to speak, in terms of creativity and pleasure. When we bring consciousness to the sexual energetic, creativity and pleasure start showing up in other areas of life that seem completely unrelated to sex and the simple process of living itself. And that's how systemic this energy is. Again, it was creating life before we were aware of our own existence as thinking Homo sapiens. So, you know, forever we've been procreating, creating life with it, and for the last 100 or so years, recreating with the development of contraceptives. So what we're sharing is how to co-create with this energy, how to use this energy as a deepening to creating and allowing our creativity and dreams to come true. And that's kind of the magic of it. You know, a lot of people listen to that and they go, oh, that sounds a little woo-woo. Well, the whole thing's woo-woo. When you think single-celled amoebas, multi-celled organisms, a universe that goes on forever, I mean, really? You know,
yeah,
and we're part of stardust and all that.
That's pretty woo-woo as well. So it's taking that procreative life energy, and you're saying using it to co-create.
Well, let's say, for instance, in a very practical way, let's say I don't see why there's no good women in the world. There's some story that's lurking in my background, right, let's say. And I don't see that, right? So I do this practice with this life force energetic, as we teach it, with the combined meditation, breath awareness, okay, and the working with the sexual energy either in its aroused or unaroused forms. Now, when we're in that energy, we're more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive. Our energy, chemically we change, oxytocin is released, endorphins are enhanced, serotonin. So we become more receptive, more accessible to this subconscious that we are, that is shading that story that there's no good women in the world, right? So now I can begin to see the knotties or the energetic blocks or the stories that are there that keep me from that. So now when I intend to create a beloved, I can get past the energetic and the emotional impact of that story because I've gone past that story in the meditation, in the practice. And that's how the practical, real-world results happen in doing meditative sex consciousness practices as we teach them.
I love that. So in a way, you're in this state of oneness. It's a form of meditation, it sounds like. You're rising above duality. You're getting into that place where, you know, there's no more story, there's actually no more wounding, there just is the isness. So are you saying to, once in that state, then even vision from that place or ask for what you need and want? Is that part of this?
It's totally.
Yeah,
totally what you said about, you know, the dualistic way of being. That actually keeps us separated within and from each other, to coming to, you know, like a unified being. And the dualistic way of looking at the world also shows up in terms of the sexual and the spiritual, you know, that seems so to be separate. We look at the sexual and the spiritual just like we look at yin and yang. You know, they are two sides of the same coin. One couldn't be there without the other. I mean, we wouldn't notice it. We wouldn't see the white without the black part of the yin and yang symbol. And so we wouldn't be human without our sexual nature and our spiritual nature. And they go together. They just had been separated for millennia. And this is really the great thing. What I find is doing this work is coming back to our wholeness. And in that sense, it's a shift of collective consciousness, of course, done one person at a time. Because, you know, once it happens within, then there's a reflection outside. And so there are concrete practices that we can learn where we connect our, you know, literally the bottom of our being, the base, the pelvic floor, with our third eye and our crown center, and then learn to breathe through with a meditative mind, the witness mind. And we can do that with subtle energy, just like right now. Subtle energy is running through everybody, you, me, Freddy Santal, the listeners. As long as we are alive, that energy runs through us. And so we can then guide that energy in an unaroused way, a subtle state, or then also more aroused ways. But we always want to learn the foundations first before we go to aroused energy, because if we start doing this too early, the channeling of that aroused energy, it often, unless the body, reconditioned the body and the being, the prior pattern just will show up, because whatever the body's used to, the body will do. So we always start with, you know, meditative practices, breathing practices, conscious breathing practices, learning to listen to energy, learning to move energy through the body, through the energy centers, and then we can gradually introduce also the aroused energy. And that can be, you know, shared with oneself in solo practice or with a beloved circulating energy. We can use and learn to channel that energy to imbue our heart center, to imbue our creations, our intentions, like the third eye. So there's a vast opportunity for all of us to expand and ultimately come further to wholeness.
Now, let's go back, roll it back just a little bit, and in your website, I want list of people that are tuning in now is tantranova.com, and we're on air with Elsbeth Mirbit. Is that it? Mirbit?
Mort.
And Freddie Zentral. Say that again.
Moit.
Elsbeth
Moit. Yeah, M-O-I-T.
Elsbeth Moit.
Moit. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Freddie.
Sure.
That's right. Having a last name that a lot of people can't pronounce as well.
Yeah, it happens.
When people say Michelle and then they pause, I go, yep, it's me. let's dive into how would you explain the practice or principles of Tantra? What is the meaning of Tantra? I believe it's a Sanskrit word, right?
Right. Well, you know, we call ourselves Tantra Nova, Tantra New, because we're integrating some of the aspects of the early Tantra, which was one of the beginning Tantras of the energetic body as opposed to Hatha, you know, yoga, the original yogas of the energetic body as opposed to the physical body.
So you're working more with the subtle energy then. Is what you're
saying. Yes, we're working with the subtle energy as it exists in our sexual manifestation, in our emotions, in our spiritual expression and feeling. So integrating the breath, the consciousness of breath, and working with the meditative and developing the observer mind, the meditation mind that observes the conversations and thoughts, and then working with life force or sexual energy in its subtle forms and aroused forms are the paths that we use to shift people's awareness and consciousness about how ultimately they're living their life. You know, that's the bottom line. Are you happy and not? And how quickly can we move back to that center, back to that savasana, back to that easy belly breath, back to, you know, on path or, you know.
Mm. So working more with the subtle. So is Tantra basically, I'm still not getting the actual meaning, I guess. So you're Tantra Nova, so it's new.
The literal meaning of the word is weaving. So when you think of the word weaving, it's weaving everything that's possible in our life, that we are not scripted, prescripted to live under some social conditioning or some old story. We are these, I think we are in our divinity when we are in our creative selves. And that often is breaking out of a box, you know. Most of the things that have really served humanity in great ways have been things that have been thinking out of the box. And that's the same consciousness that's expanding the universe, that created us from single-celled amoebas, and that's how we tap in and contribute, you know. And we feel great when we're in that creative space. If I said, I don't want to teach anybody, just leave me alone, I want to garden, I love gardening, I would garden with such love and enthusiasm someone would pass by my flowers and be inspired. And that's the kind of infectiousness that I'm talking about that happens when we start tapping in to the internal listening and the internal creativity.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And I didn't know that weaving, so you're weaving everything together. It's, well, to be a recognition and a feeling of that. Is that on it, obviously, personal level of the body, but also I'm hearing from you, universal level as well, the universal energy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
I just somehow got this wonderful visual of just like this gathering, you know, just kind of flowing into one, you know, like taking your arms and just gathering it all. So how, and you talk about in your book about that it's, you know, helping you in all areas of your life. One that I want to touch on right now is like greater fulfillment. So even in other parts of your life, even on a creative level, how does that, what's the premise behind that? How does it work?
So we are all familiar with, you know, using that energy to make babies. That's a given. It's a biological imperative. Yeah? So, however, we as human beings, we cannot only be part of that wiring, you know, just like animals, it kicks in and then the hormones flow, and we don't need to be conscious about making a baby. I mean, it's beautiful when we are, but it's wired into us. And animals, in that sense, we are like animals. However, we as human beings, we have the capacity to be self-reflective. So I can watch myself, I can witness my thoughts, my feelings, and I can learn to witness my life force energy, both in a subtle state and an aroused state. And then once I can watch and witness that wonderful energy, I can decide what I want to do with it. Yes, I can use it for procreation. However, I can also, or for lovemaking, you know, this, which is a wonderful way of expressing this energy, to connect with the beloved and circulate the energy between the two of us, both in our heart center, in our third eye center, through our sexual center, and coming to union in that way, or to deeper union. Then there is another level how we may want to use this energy, which is to imbue our creations, literal creations in the world. So, for example, when we were writing the book, Sexual Enlightenment, I did have moments when I was wondering what we were doing, you know. I mean, really, mm-hmm. is anybody interested in that? Or I had had writer's block, you know, like these moments where mm-hmm. I had self-doubt and it didn't flow. And so then at those moments, you know, I came to myself, and what we call a self-love practice, it's a kind of, we could call it sexual meditation, where I, you know, bring that wonderful aroused energy up throughout my body, let it travel up into my third eye, and let that energy imbue what I want to accomplish, what my visions, my intentions, and particularly at that moment, it was like clearing myself so that I would be connected to myself and to the purpose that we had set out in writing the book, to share this message that we are sharing with you right now. And so that was a wonderful way, and continues to be a wonderful way, to open up my own channel so that I come back into my flow, that the stuckness, you know, disappears, and that I'm connected with my whole being, including imbuing my thoughts with that wonderful creative energy.
Beautiful. Now, is this at all similar to like the cosmic orbit? Because when you said circulating, I was getting that idea, like with Mantra Chia. Wonderful.
Yes. That energy, orgasmic sexual energy, is visceral, and as we bring breath, consciousness, and awareness to it and its levels, we can circulate it around just like we do any other energy, electrical energy, breath energy, you know. So, yeah, there's an energetic field that we are, and it's not as dense as, you know, our physical body form, yet it's all energy. Emotions have an energy body, and, you know, we can think of something that happened 10 years ago and get sad or get happy or angry. So there's an effect that all of this has on us, and we can begin to move above it, through it, or beyond it in bringing consciousness to all these subtle aspects of the manifestations of how things affect us, and like our thoughts, you know. If I want to live into an intention of something new that I've never done before, I really have to let go of everything I know. And if I don't even know what I know in terms of old stories that keep me stuck in places, then how can I get deeper, more deeply connected with that and myself? And working with sexual energy is one of the ways to do that. Again, we are more open, loving, vulnerable. Chemically, we change. When we bring consciousness to this energy, it's amazing what can start to shift just in the simple process of living. And we've been doing this for 13 years, thousands of couples all over the world and individuals, and we can see the things they come in with. We do an intake, so they write down, why are they here? What do they want to get out of this? And they can report afterwards that they are seeing movement in these things that they otherwise were stuck in.
Mm-hmm. Now, Freddie, how do you work with people? Is it, I mean, obviously workshops, do you work also by phone? Let's kind of dive into that.
Yeah, we do that. We have an online program that we have that people can work with us through Skype or through Google Hangouts, through text, through phone. We do mostly live workshops here in Chicago. We also are on faculty at Esalen Institute in Big Sur. We teach there a couple times a year, as well at Kripalu Yoga Retreat Institute in Massachusetts, Stonebridge, I think it is. We're on faculty there, and a couple times a year we're there as well. And then we do other things around the country or the world as they come up. So there's a variety of ways people can work with us, get this technology, this information, and start using it.
Now, one of the things that you were also sharing, I was thinking, this sounds like it could also be good for, you know, overall health and wellness, and maybe even, I don't know, I'd ask you, even if people have, you know, maybe that you're not, you know, promoting this, but with dis-ease or, you know, blockages within the, you know, the etheric body as well as the, you know, the denser body, the body form, as you called it.
Yes, yes, totally. I mean, I practice it myself, you know. I get easily tense in my stomach area. That's my place where if there's a place in my body, that is where it shows up. And, you know, not only that I breathe into it and move energy through it, but at times also with my aroused energy to free up that place. And again, that there is the current going, because whenever the current is stopped, that is where the constriction is. And then, you know, we work with men who have, you know, perhaps post prostate surgery concerns and issues, and with women with, you know, pelvic floor concerns of all different kinds. And then, of course, how that all affects the experience of pleasure and being orgasmic or not. And, you know, so, and when I say orgasmic, I don't mean always that, like, you know, climax. I mean, it could be a more subtle experience, but the opening to our pleasure self, because when we experience pleasure, we are alive, and that is correlated to blood flow. Wherever there's blood flow, there's aliveness. So that, you know, how can we activate that? How can we connect with that? So if there are three ways of activating energy, particularly sexual energy, one is, you know, mechanically through friction or rubbing or something. The other one is chemically, like Viagra or any kind of other drugs someone may take to activate that blood flow and then the increase of aliveness, the experience of aliveness. We use energy to activate blood flow and pleasure and aliveness.
You know, as you're talking to it, dawning on me, you know, especially if the blockage is in that area, because it corresponds obviously to, well, bring all chakras, but, you know, you're getting in that first and second, which is also bringing something into form, you know, creative energy, manifesting it, or living abundantly. Do you find people, once they're opening more to their energy, that more opens up for them in their life?
Oh, you hit it on the nail.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. Well, I was thinking that as you were talking, I was thinking, I bet this is what's happening.
I mean, I'm a great example of it, you know, like us creating the Tantra Nova Institute is a pure creation that had its source in clearing my sexual center. And I didn't even know before I started doing the work that there was something to clear. You know, it unfolded and I got deeper into myself and connected with, you know, early wounds and lack of trust, and, you know, that is so much living on the cellular level of the vaginal walls for a woman. And by clearing whatever, you know, constrictions, old memories that were there, you know, deeper trust opened up for me within myself and then within men, and then, you know, Freddy Santal showed up 6 months later. I mean, it was a miracle, but, you know, but exactly what you're saying, by clearing the constrictions in our sexual center, in the first and second chakra, really that life force energy, that creative energy can flow, and it manifests in the real world.
Wow. It all is about the opening. It's the opening,
Yeah.
And this looks like a wonderful way to do that, to assist people to open more to the fullness of their being. Elizabeth and Freddie Zintel, we're winding out of time here. I want to thank you so much for being on Awakenings Radio. Appreciate you sharing your insight and information with us.
Michelle, there's one thing we would like to share with your listeners, because we have a gift for them, a free gift on our homepage. They can opt in and get a download of our 10 practices. And they can just, you know, get started there. And, of course, also on our homepage, there are other things they can get, our home study course. There's our online program. There's our book. And then lots of workshops. So just that they know there is a free gift for them.
TantraNova.com. Great, TantraNova.com. And, of course, your latest book is Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
You're
thank
so
you,
welcome.
Michelle.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, that was Elsbeth Moik and Freddie Zintal Weaver, and her latest book is Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. And you can find out more information by going to tantranova.com. Wow, good stuff. All about opening. There's a theme there. And remember that if you can dream it, if you can think it, then you can live it. If you believe you can't live the life you really want, then think again. By changing your thoughts and beliefs and aligning to the true energy of who you are, that's where the change happens. So until next time, continue to share your insight, shine your light, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.